In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What a treasure the Scriptures are. They are a tremendous gift given by our God to us. They were written for us. God had you in mind when he wrote Genesis and also the book of Revelation. He wrote those words for you. Yes, they contain historical events with real, factual, actual people. But not everything in Israel's history was recorded. Some might even say not even the main highlights. Not everything of our works of our Lord was recorded. Not all the books in the world could contain them. These words were written so that you might believe Jesus is the Christ. And by believing, you may have life in his name. A tremendous gift laid out in plain human speech for your salvation. The Magi needed this gift. They needed the Scriptures. They had come to Jerusalem in search of the newborn king, and yet no one knew what they were talking about. Herod was king. Paranoid, murderous Herod was king, and no one dared to challenge him. And here come these foreigners, probably from Persia or Babylon, asking where the newborn king might be found. Given the confusion, it's likely that the star did not lead them to Jerusalem, but it simply appeared, testifying to our Lord's birth. Herod himself was also greatly disturbed. He was king, and he was not about to allow some prophecy to take his rightful place. So he turned to the Scriptures. No one knew where to turn except this paranoid, murderous king, the Scriptures. Those Gentile astrologers, probably more along the lines of fortune tellers than scientists, needed the Scriptures to lead them to Christ. The scribes and priests knew by heart where the Christ was going to be born, in Bethlehem in the land of Judea. For he belongs to the house and line of David. He will rule over David's house, the nation of Israel, forevermore. All nations will be brought under his control, and they will bring gold and incense to him. And all his enemies will be under his feet. They knew the facts. They knew the prophecy. They knew the words. They knew the town and even the reason why. And yet the light of that star did not shine on their hearts, so they remained in darkness. They did not go to worship the newborn king, present their gifts, bend their knee. They remained in Jerusalem with Herod in darkness. Unless the word shines on men's hearts today, they sit in darkness. They're clouded with sin. They may know the facts, the histories, the stories, even more so than we know. But unless they see that word as pointing to Christ, their God and Savior, they are just as blind as Herod and the scribes. Many call the Scriptures inspiring, uplifting, and a good guide for life. They order their whole life by it. But they do not see his cross illuminating those pages. They do not see salvation as the sole purpose. And so they do not come to worship the newborn king of the Jews. And so we pat ourselves on the back because we see Jesus. But our sinful flesh often obstructs our view as well, hiding the light of the world. We lose focus of Christ. We grow tired of hearing yet again of his death and resurrection for us. We want to know how we can fix our problems, how we can improve society or life. We know it's about Jesus. But if he's not mentioned by name, do we still see him in those pages? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, says Psalm 1. And we are quick to say that we are that man, for we have avoided all kinds of sin, at least outwardly. First of all, we have not avoided all kinds of sin. We give in to temptations daily. Maybe not outwardly, but inwardly. We are just as bad as paranoid Herod, complacent scribes, and fortune-telling magi. Second of all, the Scriptures point to Christ, always. They are about him first and foremost. And so he is the man who did not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but remained pure in heart and in body. It's about him and the salvation he has won for us by his life and his death. If we miss that, then we have missed the entire point of that story. Our problem is we always want to leapfrog Christ and get to us. Because once it's about Christ, then it is also about we who are connected to Christ. So indeed, we are blessed. But we forget, so we have forgotten that the Word is a light leading us to where Christ is present. And we have not always been overjoyed to hear yet again of his sufferings and death for us, instead wanting to hear about our life for him. And we have not always run with shepherds or with magi to where this Christ is now present for us. We still need that word shining in our darkened hearts. We still need that word pointing us to where Christ is present to give us his gifts. For that word of God is still a lamp to our feet and a light for our path, leading only to one place, Christ. So trusting in that word, the Magi left, and the star they had seen in the east once again appears. They left the scribes, Herod, and Jerusalem behind in darkness, and now guided by the light of the word, they find where the Christ child is. The star does not simply guide them to a place, but to the exact place where Christ is now found. There they find the Word made flesh. There they find the light of the world wrapped in infant flesh with his mother, and they bow down and worship him. The Word always leads directly to Christ. Always. The Word is a lamp to your feet and a light for your path, guiding you to Christ. Always. Because the Word is not just a thought or a book of history. The Word is Jesus. All of it. From Genesis to Revelation, it is Jesus. And as he himself says, I am the light of the world. I am the bright morning star. He is the one who illumines our path and guides us to where he is now present. He guides us back to that cross. There we find the Word made flesh, the light of the world, lifted up high, drawing all men to himself in the darkness of that Good Friday. There we find our God, his light permeating the darkness of night. For there is no greater glory and honor than his cross. By that cross, he has shone brightly to drive out sin and darkness from our hearts. It's a magnificent sight when a star dies, and it's no less when the great morning star dies. It's a magnificent sight when this divine star dies, for through him forgiveness, life, and salvation is now won for you. He leads you to his salvation. And yet on the third day, he once again shines with his glory through his flesh, to guide you to where he is now present to give you his gifts. The Word leads you to Christ. It testifies of him from beginning to end. The light leads you to Christ. For the Word and the light is Christ, who alone can drive out the darkness of your sinful hearts and guide your feet toward the way of heaven. You need not search for him. You need not look high and low and ask about to where he should be. You know exactly where he is found. For he does not lead you to a general location. He leads you to his exact altar of bread and wine. For there is your God. There is the Word made flesh. There is the light of the world wrapped in flesh for you, so you might take and eat. In faith you come to worship this newborn king, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. In faith you bow down to sing your songs and make music before him, In faith, you present your gifts to him, not to fulfill a need or to pay the bills, but out of love and thanks for all he has done for you. Yet all of that is secondary. The greatest way that you can possibly worship this newborn child is to receive him. To receive him in faith. For the Word is made flesh. The light of the world has come so that he might shine in your heart and in your life. So follow the Word to the Word made flesh. Follow the light to the light of the world. It leads to Christ always. A tremendous gift are these scriptures, a gift given by God that we cannot thank him highly enough for. It guided the Magi to Christ, and it still guides our feet to where Christ is present to save us. The Word is your light. And that Word, that light, is your Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.